This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Amen to that. It is your turn.
It is my turn
to be instructed for a turnaround.
Ah, yes.
It is your turn to be instructed for a reversal. In the mighty name of Jesus. No longer will you be plundered. No longer will you be devoured. In the mighty name of Jesus. All your enemies will go into hiding. In the mighty name of Jesus. God will settle you once for all. I say it will settle you once for all. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you believe it, shout a very loud hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. In the next few minutes I have remaining, I'm going to talk about what I have called, titled very simply, Resurrection Facts. Resurrection Facts. The historicity of Jesus of Nazareth is very well documented in the annals of history. Only an ignorant person will say there was no Jesus of Nazareth. You have to be profoundly ignorant. Even an atheist that is educated will tell you, yes, indeed, there was a Jesus of Nazareth. There is no historian of worth that denies this fact, that there was a certain Jew that lived at a certain time that made some wild claims that got him into trouble. Nobody denies that fact. In fact, it is very well documented that this Jesus existed, and because of his claims, he was executed as a common criminal. That is in every history book, not just in the Bible. The outstanding claim of Jesus and subsequently his disciples is his resurrection. And today, like I said, we're talking about what? Resurrection facts and their significance. In John chapter 2, verse 19, John chapter 2, 19 to 21, he said, "All right," Jesus replied, "destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." "What?" they exclaimed. "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you can rebuild it in 3 days? You see, that is what happens when you hear God, but you don't hear God clearly.
My God.
He said, "I will destroy this temple," but he was not talking about a physical temple. He was talking about his body. He's talking about himself. That on the third day, I will die, and on the third day, I will rise again. Verse 21 says, "But when Jesus said this temple, he meant his own body." He meant his own body. Resurrection facts number one. Resurrection fact number one is it is central to the Christian faith. Resurrection is central to the Christian faith. If there is no resurrection, there is no Christianity.
That's right, sir.
If Jesus died and did not rise, then we don't have any faith. We don't have any Christianity. We have believed a lie. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 14, 17, 18, 19, and I read. Say, "And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless. And your faith is useless." Verse 17, "And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. And you are still guilty of your sins." Because one of the key things that the death and resurrection of Jesus does for us is it takes away our sin. Amen? Because the wages of sin is what? But the free gift of God is what? Eternal life. Amen? So if Christ did not rise again from the dead, it means we are still guilty as we were charged. Verse 18, "In that case, All who have died believing in Christ are lost. The resurrection is a vindication of Christ as the Messiah. If you have seen the movie, verse 18, in that case, all who have died in Christ are lost. If our hope, verse 19, if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. What happened there was, I added a note for myself. I was reading my note as scripture. No. I can't add to scripture. I'm not that important. Listen to this. The resurrection of Christ is his vindication as the Messiah. The fact that he died and he rose is exactly the proof that this is the Messiah. Because if he would not have died, if he would not have risen, then he's not different from every other man. The Bible, in the New Testament, even in the Old, we have seen people that died and came back to life. Yes. But after they came back to life, what ultimately happened to them? They died again. Yes. They died again. But Jesus, when he resurrected from the dead, in plain sight, he ascended to heaven. Hallelujah. He ascended to heaven. So Jesus is the risen Christ. Jesus is the risen Lord. He is risen and is forever alive in the name of Jesus. There's a movie I want to recommend to everyone. This movie is called The Case for Christ. If you have Netflix, it's on Netflix. Good movie. I think I've said it before. True life story. It was a story of an atheist that set out to debunk Christianity. And in his research, he ultimately found out that if you are going to debunk Christianity, the only thing you need to do is debunk resurrection. Once you debunk resurrection, that it didn't happen, then there's no Christianity. And that's exactly what the scripture says. Praise the Lord. But we know he is risen. I'm not going to tell you the rest of the movie so you have a reason to watch it. Hallelujah. Resurrection, listen, people of God, is the central pillar of the Christian faith. The disciples of Jesus died for their proclaiming the resurrection of Christ. Many of them, at the face of the threat of death, they insisted. We saw him. We are not telling you a story that was told to us. We are telling you what we know, what we have witnessed. Isn't that what Luke wrote in Acts chapter 1? Acts chapter 1 verse 1. Can you please pull that up for me? Acts 1:1. Quickly, please. Praise the Lord. He said, these things that we are writing to you, these are things. He said, in my first book, I told you, O Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and to teach. Verse 2. Until the day he was taken up after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. Verse 3. During the fourth, okay, that's not what I was looking for, but that's okay. The apostles bore witness to the resurrection of Christ. Yes, sir. They preached it. Yes. They talked about it. Even Paul, that did not walk with Christ, he had an encounter with the resurrected Christ. And he was ready to die for that truth. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 9 that on the way to Damascus, he had an encounter with Jesus. He saw Jesus. He knew that this thing is legit and for real. How will you give yourself to die for a lie? Think about it. If Jesus indeed had not resurrected, if Jesus had told his disciples that cover for me, I will die, but just tell them that I rose, Sha. When they put you to death, to the point of death, he will say, let me confess. Do you understand? But every single one of them, because they know what they saw how he suffered, They saw how he hung on the cross. And they saw that he died. They saw the tomb in which they placed him. They went back to that tomb. That tomb was empty. They were assured of this thing that has been said. And they laid their life down for it. They know this is not a fable. This is not a story told by the Pharisees of their experience in the wilderness. This is something they themselves firsthand experienced. The resurrection of Christ. We're talking about facts about resurrection. The resurrection of Christ is central to the Christian faith. The significance of this to us as believers is primarily, if Jesus resurrected from the dead, listen to this, then it means there is life after death. If indeed Jesus died and he rose from the dead and he was able to walk about, in fact, in one of his appearances to the disciples, he told them, he said, give me fish to eat. He said, ghost, spirits, don't eat. So that they can know that this is the same Jesus that died, that has resurrected. Amen. He said, give me food to eat. He ate with them. When Thomas was saying, okay, if this is, let me poke your hand. He said, this is the hand, poke it. He poked it. He said, spirits don't have flesh and bone. Hallelujah. He rose from the dead. And if he rose from the dead, it means there is life after death. What is the implication of that for you and I? It means whatever I do in the here and now, the Bible says it is appointed unto all man once to die. Nobody disputes that. Amen? It means after I die, there is a day of reckoning. There is a life after this life where I'm going to give an account of this life in that other life. The reason the world is fighting the resurrection of Christ so much is because if they agree he resurrected, it brings a lot of consequence to their life. Those that believe that, oh, we die, well, once we die, everything. Some people believe that they die, if they die, if they didn't live well in this life, they will come back as cockroach. And people will be running after them too. Or call the pest control to come and kill them. No. There is a real life after this life. There is a life. So for us believers, when a person dies, it's not goodbye. It's see you later. Amen? Because we're going to reunite in heaven again. Again. Hallelujah. Resurrection is central to the Christian faith. And because it is central to the Christian faith, if Christ indeed resurrected, then there is a life after death. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 and 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 and 14. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. He said, for since we believe that Christ died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, hallelujah, amen, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. When Christ will appear in glory, the Bible says we will hear the sound of a loud trumpet, and it will appear in the sky, and all those that have died in Christ, they will be pulled out of their grave with glorified body, and they will be joined to him in the sky. And those of us that are alive and have lived for him will join him in the sky. And that is what we popularly call rapture. Amen? And then after that, the world will go into 7 years of tribulation. But that's not my point today. My point today is to let you know that there is a life after death because Jesus rose from the dead. Put your hands together. Hallelujah. Number two, and I've kind of jumped ahead of myself, but that's okay. It is controversial. In fact, of all the Christian doctrine, this is the probably the most controversial doctrine of the Christian faith. It is the major miracle of the New Testament. All who died and were raised from the dead, they died after they were raised from the dead. Amen? If Christ, listen close now, if Christ died and rose from the dead, that is also a confirmation of miracles. It means miracles can still happen. What greater miracle than the dead coming back to life? Hallelujah. Because Jesus rose from the dead, everything about your life that ought to be a life that is dead, perhaps a dead business, perhaps a dead womb, perhaps a dead whatever that ought to be alive, I speak by the resurrection power of Christ for those things to come to life now. In the name of Jesus. Every door that ought to be opened that is shut against you, listen to me. The Bible says the grave could not hold him captive. Death could not hold him captive. Because death could not hold Jesus captive, nothing can hold you captive. I say you are free, and you are free indeed in the name of Jesus. Yeah. If you believe it, shout three loud hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. If resurrection is true, then that is proof for me that miracles are possible. Amen. I don't know what they have told you is not possible. They say, that is very, very difficult. Ask them, is it more difficult than raising the dead? Woo! If it is not, then it is possible. Say, I know the last time somebody did this thing that you are talking about, their life was messed up. Okay. Are they Koye Sonny? He said, no. Oh, then that is not my story. Hallelujah. Be confident of who you are in Christ Jesus. Do you know that the controversy over a matter does not validate or invalidate the matter? Amen? You know, many years ago, the pastor of my church, he called me to his office. He said, Koye, is it true you are a doctor? I said, yes. He said, so why? How is it that they don't call you doctor? I said, I don't mind them, sir. I don't know for them. Does it invalidate who I am?
It didn't take away your degree.
It didn't take my degree away. It didn't take away my pay. Because they are paying me based on my degree and. Do you understand? So the controversy over your life does not validate or invalidate who you are. Whether or not they believe, it doesn't change the matter. You are who you are by the grace of God. The Bible says not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of us. It's our sufficiency is of Christ. So what I'm saying, I'm not bragging because of me. I'm bragging because of Christ. Hallelujah. They didn't believe him that he rose. So if they don't believe you that you are who you are, why are you worried? You are when you pay attention to stuff like that, you are giving them strength and you are giving them power. You are wasting your time and fueling nonsense. I am who I am by the grace of God. Jesus died for me. And he rose from the dead that he might establish the promises he has made for me. Amen. If you believe it, shout three other loud hallelujahs.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me. If I get into it, I can't finish it. So I'm going to skip some things here. And maybe the next time we will deal with it properly. You see, when you read the scripture, when you read the scripture, there was a, you know, there's a show I like watching with the girls. My wife, not so much. She doesn't enjoy that show. Criminal Mind. It's always a debate when we want to watch it. Once we start watching it, she goes on her phone and she's doing Facebook. You know, but sometimes she watches with her. But listen to this. There was a particular situation, a crime situation that they were investigating. And FBI was involved. As they were interviewing people, there were two key witnesses. When they got back to the office, one of the things the investigator said was, he said, these two people, their story is so exactly alike that we are suspicious. When two stories are exactly, even in the situation where two people are telling the truth, they will tell the story differently. Because everybody tells a story from their perspective. You know, but when you are both saying the same thing, it means you have practiced. So when they ask you this, you will say this. When they say that, you will say that. When they say that, you will say that. You will say it happened exactly at 11:02. But you know, even though it happened 11:02, because we didn't discuss it, when they ask me, I can say, I think it was around 11:30 or so. You know, but they get the picture. There is an 11:00 in this matter. When they saw the way their story, they said, mm-mm. Something is suspicious. Something is suspicious. In fact, when God's not dead too, I believe it was, in court, the argument for the validity of scripture is exactly the things people call discrepancies in scripture. You know that there are some differences in the accounts. Truly, when you read the Bible, you will see the accounts are kind of different. This is not saying Bible is not real or it's not true. Mark, for example, Mark was not one of the 12 disciples. Mark's story is based on the account of Peter. So when you read what Mark is writing, and you read what Matthew wrote, and you read what Luke wrote, Luke too is not one of the 12. He too got his story from somebody else. Hallelujah. But you see their story, you get the general gist. You get the general gist. We arose. There was an empty tomb. There was an empty tomb. I want you to shout loud on top of your voice. He is risen! Hallelujah. We're talking about resurrection facts. Resurrection facts. Resurrection facts. It is a fact that resurrection is controversial. It is a fact that resurrection is central to the Christian faith. Number three, Jesus predicted it. So resurrection was not a happenstance. They didn't mistakenly kill him and then he just raised himself from the dead. No. It was all part of the plan. You see, the text that co-pastor read earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 and 10, if you back it up to 8, the Bible says, if they had known, they would not crucify the King of Glory.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So it now goes forward to say, for it is written. Because their eyes have not seen and their ears have not heard. He said, that is why they could do that. But if they would have known, they would not have crucified the King of Glory. It was not an happenstance. It was predicted. Jesus said it before it happened. Open your Bibles with me to Mark. Mark chapter 8. We'll read 31 to 33. Mark 8, 31 to 33. He said, then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He will be killed, but 3 days later, 3 days later, 3 days later, he will rise from the dead. Hallelujah. This is Jesus telling his disciples ahead of time. Verse 32, as he talked with this, about this openly with his disciples, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him, reprimand him for saying such things. You know why? The reason, you know, we talk about Peter and all of this thing. The guy was kind of, vocal, raise your mouth, forward, anything you want to say along those lines. But listen to this. What Peter was saying, the rest of the disciples understood. Because according to what their expectation was, the belief in Second Temple Judaism is that the Messiah, when the Messiah comes, is going to come in triumphant glory. The Messiah was not expected to come suffering. And they have believed that he's the Messiah. You know, and then he began to say he's going to suffer. So he put him to the side. He said, Jesus, don't be saying this kind of thing in public. He said, you may not know this, but in Second Temple Judaism, our belief is that the Messiah will come powerful. You have shown us power. So don't be talking like that in public. That's what he did. He rebuked him sharply. He said, no, you are the Messiah. We believe you. You have done everything the Messiah is supposed to do. Suffering? Come on, stop that. Hallelujah. You see, that's what happens to us many times when we think we understand spiritual things. Why did she? Me too, I can. This blah, 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 do, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, maybe logically you are right, but spiritually you are bankrupt. Because it sounded good. It was based on their belief, but it's not based on the spirit. Listen to this. Jesus answered him. Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples, then reprimanded Peter. Get away from me, Satan. Only Satan spoke the way you have spoken. To tell me not to suffer is a satanic proclamation. It's a satanic utterance. He said, because for this reason I have come. I have come that I may suffer. I have come that I may die. And on the third day, I will rise up from the dead. Hallelujah. For this very reason, I came. For this very purpose, I came. I came to suffer because of you. I came to die because of you. That is why it is double jeopardy. If Jesus already suffered and paid the price, why are you suffering? Why am I suffering? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm talking about Jesus predicted his own death and suffering. In Matthew chapter 12, 39 and 40, Matthew 12, 39 and 40, but Jesus replied, only an evil, adulterous generation will demand a miraculous sign. But the only sign I will give them is the sign of Prophet Jonah. Say, for as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. I'm going to have to stop here now because our time is fast spent. I want you to rise to your feet. Rise to your feet, people of God. My prayer for you today is the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in your life will not be a waste. You didn't hear that. The sacrifice of Christ for you and for me will not be a waste. In the name of Jesus. There's a movie, an old movie, called Double Jeopardy. A woman was accused of killing her husband. And she was tried, but for want of evidence, they did not give her life sentence or death sentence. They gave her 10 years. She went to prison for 10 years. At think on good conduct, she came out 7 years. When she came out, she found out that her husband did not die, but faked his death with her friend. And her friend, they had calculated that if he was dead and she was in prison, they would give her friend the custody of the children and pay out the insurance money, the insurance benefit to that account. So they hooked up behind the scene and they started living their life. This woman found them out and killed the man and stood there and called 911. When they came, they took her to court. She said, "I killed a dead man. I already, listen close, don't be distracted. I've already done time for killing this man. I just ensure that he's now dead." Listen to me. God or Jesus already died on your behalf. The Bible says, for your sake, he was made poor, that you might be rich. Hallelujah. For your sake, he was broken, that you might be made whole. Everything broken in your life, I speak completion. I preach completeness into it in the name of Jesus. I want you to lift up both hands. Let's keep it down. Continue, but keep it down. Lift up both hands to heaven and begin to declare confidently, like you know who you are in Christ Jesus. Jesus already paid the price. Jesus already died. It is double jeopardy for you to suffer the same things that Jesus already suffered. Lift up both hands and talk to him this morning. Talk to him this morning. And by adventure, you are here. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm sorry to say that all this does not pertain to you. But you can connect to it by faith right now. You say, "I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior." Why don't you come forward? Let me pray with you. The rest of us keep praying. Talk to God. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. He has done it. He has done it. The Bible says he was bruised because of your iniquity. By his stripes, you have been made whole. By his stripes, sickness has no place in your body. Sickness has no place in my body. Failure has no place in your life. In the name of Jesus. Because Jesus never failed. Jesus never failed. I can never fail. You can never fail. In the name of Jesus. Lift up both hands to heaven and talk to him. Say, "Lord, I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all unto you, Lord. I surrender all unto you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name, we have called and we have prayed. That is why you are called Jehovah. That is why
you are called Jehovah.
Oh, yes. What you say? Oh, yes.
That is what you will do. That is why you are called Jehovah.
I believe our heavens, the cloud is filled with water. I truly believe that. I believe our harvest is ripe. I feel it. It's very strong. The clouds are thick. When you see thick clouds, you say it's going to rain. Isn't that what we say? It's going to rain. I want to pray for a group of people this morning. You have had delays. This is not everybody. You know, so I know you feel the presence of God, but if you have had delay, I don't know in what. Maybe delay in promotion, marriage, or healing, a job, whatever it is. Delay. There's a reversal. God is turning things around. Ministers and pastors, join me. A delay. The Lord will help me to do. He will help me to do. To appreciate you. Lord Jesus, we love you so much because you first loved us. Even while we were yet unlovable, you loved us enough to die for us. We thank you for your love. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, thank you for revealing Christ to us. We glorify your name. We magnify your name. We say, be thou exalted forever and ever in the name of Jesus. Lord, this week, I prophesy, let your people begin to walk into their miracles. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I decree and I declare, no more delay. No more delay. It is time for you to go northward. It's time for you to go forward. It's time for you to advance forward. Increase is your portion. In the name of Jesus, God will bring you into new connections of your spiritual midwives to bath those things that God has placed in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, King of Glory. Lord, as we close the service, Jehovah, I pray that your presence will continue with us. That they continue to expound your word in our hearts and let your name be glorified. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you. The Lord will give you peace. It will make his face shine upon you. It will put his name upon you. And wherever you go, favor is your portion. The Lord will be merciful unto you. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen. Let us share the grace together in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Surely his goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Scripture of the month, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Say, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in me, he will perform it until the day of Christ. And so shall it be. In the name of Jesus. Pastor Bode has an announcement. Okay, go ahead.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.